Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. Now, Jesus speaks some words here concerning all of us. It's a God's invitation. God gives a great invitation. Praise the Lord. And so, this is one of them. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, notice the scriptures together, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your word today, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would just continue to minister life and strength to each of us. Instruct us, Lord, in the ways of truth and righteousness, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's invitation is powerful, and I thank God for his invitation. Amen. And did you ever receive an invitation you didn't want, but you had to go? You ever been invited to a party? Someone obligated you to be there, but you really didn't want to be there? I want to tell you something. When God calls, I want to go. One day he will invite us, "Come up hither, and I will show you what must take place hereafter." Revelation 4:1. And that would be in heaven. That's where we want to be. Praise God. There's one invitation no one in their right mind would want to reject. That's Jesus' invitation. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the door to the sheepfold." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life." You don't want to say no to his invitation. God's invitation is wonderful. Let's notice, first of all, that Jesus says here, "Come to me, all you the laborer who are heavy laden." Come to me. To who? To Jesus, amen. The creator of the ends of the earth, who spoke worlds into existence, and the one who has walked in this life everywhere you've walked the path. He knows the heartache, he knows the pain, he knows the suffering, he understands everything. You say, "Well, yes, but we're human," and he wasn't. Yes, but the Son of God became the Son of Man. Son of God referring to his deity, Son of Man referring to his natural humanity. Praise God. So he became all. But Jesus says, "Come to me," and he didn't cease to be God at all. He's a great creator of the ends of the earth. He fainteth not, neither is weary. There's nothing past his understanding. His ways are past finding out. Amen. So he knows the heartache, the suffering, and the pain that people endure today. Jesus knows what it is to have to be disappointed by friends. He knows what it is to be rejected by friends. And he has endured grief, pain, and suffering greater than you and I can ever fully understand. But whatever you're going through this day, he's been there. And wherever you come to a place, before you get there, he'll be there already. So he's powerful. And this great God says, "Come to me." I don't know how. Exactly how, but I know that he did. He said he came down to where we are. He came down from his creative power, who plung the stars and the moon into space, and he come down to be personally acquainted with you and I. Hallelujah. He cares for you. And Jesus says, and I don't know where life finds you today, but I want to know that Jesus says, "Come to you." He leaves nobody out. He shows no personal favoritism. He doesn't care, amen, what planet you're on or where you're at. I'm pretty sure on this one. I don't know where that you're into or what has come against you today, but it's not something he's never seen before. He's walked thousands of people through whatever you're feeling right now, and he's experienced. He created humanity. He created his mind, will, and emotions. He knows your emotions. He knows when you cry, when you shouldn't cry. He knows you when you whine and whimper, when you shouldn't. God knows all your feelings and your emotions and why and what causes everything. And this same Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." And I can't help but feel it. I know it's today. There's a heaviness in our uncertain world today when our freedoms are questioned in this nation and when all around the world godless ideas and lifestyles are being promoted as acceptable and normal instead of sinful. We hear of violence. We hear of murder. We hear where all kinds of things abound that are not of God. Man. Babies being killed, kids being abandoned, people being sold in slavery. There's all kinds of things. The list goes on and on and on because sin is never satisfied until it destroys and kills. And so, you who labor and are heavy laden, you who labor to do the right things right, you may have failed, you have, but God is there to pick you up. And you labor to do the right things. You labor, you try to be a good companion, you try to be a good neighbor, a good friend, and you try to be a good Christian. And we need to understand something. The only thing good in a Christian is Christ in them. And God takes control and takes charge of all the behavior of our life and then on. You may have failed, you have failed, but yet God is there to pick you up, and God needs you, wants you in this world. He doesn't really need anything. He doesn't need me and you, but He desires to have you and I, and He needs the gospel to be promoted through you and I. And the scripture says here, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden. Maybe you're weighed down by things that you cannot have a control, you don't have control of. You're weighed down because you feel you fall short. Man. Or you feel like a failure because you never feel like you're good enough. How many here have always felt like they were good enough? Amen. I'm the only one to raise my hand, but I put it down real quick. No, we're not good enough, but God is good enough. He's powerful enough. He's mighty enough. He's gracious enough. Amen. And He cares enough about you, no matter where you are, where I find you today. But Jesus says to people then, come, you who labor and are heavy laden. Those of you who always feel like you're not good enough, you cannot measure up. And there was a reason that people felt like this in Jesus' day. There's a reason they feel like that today. But heavy legalisms by the Pharisees, man-made rules, were laid upon them that no one could keep, and not even the Pharisees that created them could keep. In Matthew 23, Jesus has some of the most of the very strongest words that He spoke in His lifetime here on earth. And He spoke many woes. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Those three things are mentioned several times in Matthew 23. In one place He says there, Matthew 23:4, for they bind, Pharisees and Sadducees, they bind heavy burdens hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. I want to tell you, Jesus taught real strong. You said, I thought Jesus was loving and kind and caring. He was and is. But He's also truthful. He's also justice. He's also righteous. And He always speaks the truth. Amen. And so the Pharisees here, they were continually laying regulations and demands upon people that were not from God at all. They were just simply traditions that they had passed down from their own generation to generation and were not the Word of God at all. They had the Word of God. They had the Old Testament. They had the Pentateuch. They had the first five books of the Bible. They knew what to do. They knew how to act. They knew how to behave, but they just didn't do it. They were heavy laden. The people were, the natural people then. And I may ask you today, do you feel weighted down with cares, responsibilities, people you know need God, but they won't come to God? You know, we ask why would people wallow in self-pity and all this type of stuff when they could have God to help? And why would people go through things and not ask God to help? Amen? Why would people go endure stuff they don't have to endure? Or if they have to endure, why would they choose to endure it alone when God is right there to help them and to walk with them? I want to tell you, friend, the old song says, He walks with me, He talks with me, He knows my every needs, He bears my burdens, He helps me. I want to tell you, you need God's help, you need to be saved, you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit, and you need to walk with God and live for God, because God can walk you through, He can help you if you're burdened down or you're heavy laden. Hallelujah. You feel weighted down with cares, responsibilities? Amen. Responsibilities are not a bad thing. They come from God. People you know that need God, but they won't turn around to God. It's hard. It's a weight. Man, maybe you're weighed down with hospital bills, medical bills, charged for things that they didn't do here and there, wherever. Bills that you know you can't possibly pay. You're supposed to go home for 6 months. You're not supposed to pick up over 5 pounds. Yet when you stand up, you picked up several hundred pounds. 100, maybe let's bring it back. But you feel weighted down with cares of this age, and it seems like you're never able to please everybody. Let me tell you something, you never will please everybody. So quit worrying about it. Just go to God. Heavy laden. Are you laden with guilt and shame from past failures? There is relief. Because you see, the enemy of your soul wants to burden you down and lay you down with things that you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and you ask God to forgive you, and you know God's forgive you, but he keeps continually wants you to make you feel guilty again and again and again. I want to tell you something. God's Word brings us beyond that. The Bible says, Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is to the west, so far hath it removed our transgressions from us. God doesn't want you to feel guilty over what you've already repented of and ask His forgiveness of. The Bible does say if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He didn't say go on and sin all you want to. No, He says turn and follow Me. And so that's what He wants us to do. And the Bible says our sins have been buried in the depths of the sea. That's pretty far. But His invitation is, come to Me, all you that, if you feel that way, come to Me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. And there's some things you have to endure in this life, some things I have to endure, some people you'll have to endure, some political things, some natural things, some local things you'll have to endure. But I want to tell you, God says you have need of endurance. Jesus endured the cross for us. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And the Bible tells us what to do with this. He says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen. And when things begin to be laboring and heavy laden, just go to the prayer closet, amen, wherever it is, and just pour out your soul before God. Say, God, I can't handle this anymore. This is more than I can take. And you just cry and pour out your heart before God. And you say, well, God won't think I'm weak. God knows you are weak without Him. That's the reason He's furnished Himself to be with you. Amen. He says, come to Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. When there's no way out, there is a way out. God is the way out. And God not only is the way out, He's the way through. He's the way above. He's the way that's powerful and more greater than whatever you're going to face. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. We've all endured fear. Have that if we're honest. But fear brings torment eventually. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. God loved you to bring you out of fear and torment, and to give you confidence and hope instead. Praise the Lord. So if you labor and are heavy laden, weighted down, Jesus says, second of all, He says, I will give you rest. And we all need rest. Anybody have trouble sleeping at night? Anybody have trouble sleeping during the day? Okay. So we need rest. The body needs rest, physical rest. There's all types of sleeping things. Sleeping pillows and my pillow and your pillow, mattresses, sleeping pills. There's all things. Times they have sleep studies where they come and have you sleep. I don't know. and people get sleepy during sermon. I guess I better hurry before you go to sleep. So, you know, they kind of like Cain. They disappear to the land of Nod. So Jesus says here, I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Emotional and spiritual, mental rest. We can rest that our account of sin has been paid for. If you're right with God and you're living for God, you can rest that Jesus paid it all on Calvary. We can rest in peace. Amen. I heard of a story here a while back. A man and died after having a very heated argument with his wife. And then she left for a while because she couldn't stand him. And he died while she was gone. All the funeral arrangements have been made and everything passed without her coming back. So finally she came back and she went to the grave and the tombstone. It said, rest in peace. And she told the funeral director, said, I don't want him to rest in peace. Can you take that off the tombstone? He said, lady, this is etched in granite. You can't erase it. And she said, well, can you add to the end of it, rest in peace until we meet again? That is a comical thing, but I can tell you we can rest that our future is secure as we trust in God. I can't do anything about it now. I can't do anything about the past, but I want to tell you something. We can take a hold of Christ and live for Him and trust Him and know that our future is secure, that we're going to have confidence in this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion till the day of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, friend. He intends to finish this thing with you. He didn't save you for you to stay here on the outside and to be lonely and full of doubt and fear and all the time and to be scared of everything, scared of your own shadow, all of that. God intended for you to live in victory and power and in confidence that He has got it under control. He didn't fail. He's not going to fail. He's not going to start failing. He's first, the last, the beginning, and the end. He has all things in control. You just make your mind up to live for God and walk with God. Hallelujah. He said, I will give you rest. He said, I'm not going to give you worry. I'm going to give you rest from all the things that confuse you or hurt you or challenge your peace. So we can rest our future as secure as we trust in God. We can rest that one more powerful walk and talk with God is good. He can bear the load. You know, our Lord is considered to be meek, but the Lord is meek, but He's not weak. He is the King of Kings in your life, at your side. He's there to lift you up, not to put you down. To give you victory and not defeat. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, I'm going away, and when I go away, He said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And so we know that Jesus went back to the Father, and He gave the Holy Spirit, which means, comforter means one called alongside to help. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's not just somebody that's just a helper. But He's an experienced, praise God. You know, when you get into trades or whatever, you know, somebody's a carpenter's helper. He's not a full-fledged carpenter. He's just a helper. And somebody that's a electrician's helper is not just a full-fledged, you know, journeyman electrician. He's a helper. And that means you do everything the electrician don't want to do. I know that by experience. But the Holy Spirit is not a helper in that sense. It's just that He knows how to help people through everything. He's a comforter, He's a counselor, He's a helper, He's everything. He's God. The Holy Spirit is God. And so the Lord is not weak, He is strong. And we can rest on the promises of God's Word. He has promised to walk us through every difficult thing. Amen. God's even promised to walk you through worry. Amen. I know you've been worried before. You've been worried that I'm not going to get through. Amen. We've got all eternity. No. But we can rest on the promises of God's Word. The Bible tells us about worry, and if I were to ask you to raise the hands, whoever's worried, everybody has worried. I know that'll be 100%. Doesn't do any good, but we do it anyway sometimes. But the Word of God tells us to be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God is saying, you come to me when you're laboring or heavy laden, if you're heavy laden with worry and fear, come to me. He says, be anxious for nothing. Man, yeah, but he's not talking about this. Yes, he says for nothing. Don't let anything make you worried. But in everything by prayer. When you're worried about something, pray about it. Amen. And you may need to get on your face before God. Amen. You may need to get on the carpet and make ruffles and shag carpet. But you need to get serious about God, what I'm saying. But in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God here is not seen as just no worry or care, not just that. But it says the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God sets up a guard there. His peace. When something violates God's peace in your life, amen, there God is there to guard you. And you hear the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, said, if you say this, if you do this, you're not going to have peace about it. We need to learn to listen to Him. Amen. If I go here, say this, do that, you know, and God says, God checks your heart and says, you're not going to have peace if you do that. You say, well, you don't know what this person did to me. I want to give them a piece of my mind, a piece and a half. But you know when you get done with that, you're not going to have peace. Because the Holy Spirit's going to knock on your heart's door and say, you need to go look that person in the face and apologize to him for what you just said. You say, that's not easy. I know it's not easy. You know how I know? Same reason you know. Because God's had you to do that before, probably. And so God knows how to guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus and give you peace. And God says, if you're labor heaven laid, I'll give you hope, I'll give you peace, I'll give you love, and I'll give you rest. Where you're no longer burdened in your mind and your will, your emotions, because God, you've poured it out before God, and God's got this taken care of it. And I will give you rest. Now, we don't need spiritual sleep, but we need to be spiritually awake. And I do believe we're nearing the coming of the Lord. Even if you've heard that all your life, we're just that much closer. We're a lifetime closer if you've heard it all your life. And the enemy's always there to steal your victory. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5:8, he didn't say be drunk. He says be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And the enemy may walk around like a roaring lion, but he's not more powerful than the Christ in you. God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the day of the Lord must be near, but my friend, we don't need to be spiritually asleep, but God gives us rest even though we're in the end of the end time, I believe. In the book of Romans, it warns us there, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Oh, my friend, with the sea world happenings today, we're saying, God, is this it? Is this the day? Amen. Could you come today? He could. Amen. And it says, the day is at hand. He said, let us cast off the works of darkness. In other words, cast off sinful things. Let us put on the armor of light. Let's shine for the Lord. Let's let our light so shine before men that we see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Praise God. Last of all, Jesus says here, take my yoke upon you. Okay, a yoke is something that they tied oxen together with to keep them to walk in a straight line so that they could plow the fields with their oxen and mules and donkeys and whatever they used, oxen mainly here in the Bible. But the yokes had to be perfect and they had to be the right size and they had to fit equally the oxen so they could plow and pull a cart or whatever they needed to do, and they could do it together. And so the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That doesn't mean you ignore unbelievers. It means you just don't practice what the sinful lifestyle that they practice. And so yokes are heavy because you have to be in unity with the one beside you. But if you're yoked up with Jesus, he's going to lead you right. He's going to lead you straight. It's a powerful way, but it's the right way. His yoke is to simply trust his work. His yoke is to trust his righteousness. His yoke is to trust his power to make right decisions. His yoke is to trust his leadership by the Holy Spirit in all things. Just trust him. You want to be yoked up with God. Philippians, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your steps. My friend, God's word tells us to trust him with all of our heart. Don't half trust him, fully trust him. Amen. And trust in his power to enable you to walk in victory instead of defeat. Amen. And Jesus says here in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We learn from a lot of people, a lot of things. We learn what to do and what not to do from people, but we can fully learn from Christ. Man, we learn of him, Christ, as we run to him for help. It's in difficulty that we cry out to God for help, and there we learn of him. When we have to endure something, we run to Christ and say, Lord Jesus, we know that you endured the cross. You endured all types of insults and all types of hard words people said against you and condemned you. So I need your help. And God's there to guide us. He's experienced, I can tell you. He's meek, but he's not weak. He says, learn of me for guidance. Amen. And fully, if you just want to trust the Lord and walk with him, that's God challenges us to do so. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus says, come to me. That is his invitation. That's God's invitation. Come unto me. Last book of the Bible, Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts comes. Whoever desires, let him come and take of the water of life freely. God's invitation is to, for you today, whatever you're going through, whatever yoke you may be linked to that's not good, and you want to be yoked up with God, I want to tell you, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He can lift you above the cares of life and whatever you may be going through. It's not unusual to God, and God is not at all as what to do. He knows what to do, and he will help you. Praise the Lord. Come unto me. That's his invitation. Amen. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Praise the Lord.